comes in the name of the Lord. We worship you. We honor you. We thank you for inhabiting our praise and our worship. As we go into your word, we ask your anointing and presence. Go with us and increase. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Anoint me afresh. Let me speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction that's upon my ears, upon my heart and my lips, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present here, as well as those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely, Father, from you, through me, to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in each of our hearts, including mine in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as we speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words, yes, and follow them in wherever they are heard in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. Further pray for mercy, to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring it out of the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said,
Amen.
You could be seated. Our Easter message that the Lord has put in my heart for this year is the resurrection in Abraham and Sarah. I actually preached this message 7 years ago. It's amazing. Where have the years gone? It's amazing. And I was whispering to Pastor Tunji Odunta and Sister Gloria after praying for them. I said to them, and it's true for all of us, your best years are in front of you. Oh, believe it all. Your best years, the best years of your life, are not the ones that, you know, behind. It's the one that are in front. The greater part of your destiny is going to be unfolding in the years that are ahead of us. 2024, 2025, 2026, the decades of the 20s, the decades of the 30s. We go into the 40s, which we were expecting that the work that should be done would have been done. And then we will be in great expectation of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, in the pre-tribulation rapture. Then there will be a mid-tribulation rapture, as revealed in Revelation chapter 11. And there will be a post-tribulation rapture, as revealed in Matthew 24, before he finally comes physically to destroy the Antichrist and his armies in the great battle of Armageddon somewhere in Israel, and then set up the millennial reign. That is the track. There's no point planning and doing things without figuring God inside. Any plan you're making, yourself, your wife, your children, your career, let it follow this timeline. We wish everybody a happy, I don't know, you know, that you experience a resurrection life and all its attendant blessings in your spirit, soul, and body, and your circumstances as we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in this Easter season. Interestingly, the scriptures I'm going to mention
are the ones that were sung when he said 4 days. I love that song. Even when God is late, he's still on time. Only God can be late and still be on time. And I was whispering to Laolu. I said, you see, there are two kinds of times in the Bible. There's Chronos. That's where we get chronology from. The book of Chronicles. That's your normal earthly human time. Today is Sunday. Tomorrow will be Monday. Next day will be Tuesday. That's Chronos. But there is another type of time spoken of in the scriptures, which is the Kairos. The Kairos time is a appointed time that God has set for him to fulfill his purposes. And what happens, watch this. There's a little bit of physics, but it's not complicated. What God does, you got Chronos going, Chronos. And then at a time where he has decided, at a time when he has planned, at a time when his conditions have been fulfilled, he will burst in with Kairos on top of Chronos. John 11, verses 23 through 27. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, oh, come on, God, I know my Bible. This is Olubi Johnson paraphrase. I'm speaking as Martha in the minds of most of us today. Oh, come on. I know my Bible. Of course I know. I know it's going to rise again. I believe in the resurrection. I went to an Anglican school, you know. We read the creed every Sunday. I believe in the resurrection of that. I know it's going to rise again. But that was not what Jesus was talking about. And Jesus, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She had no doubt about that. Verse 25. And Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm not bound by Chronos. I'm not bound by Chronos. I'm not bound by your time. I'm 4 days late on Chronos, but on Kairos, I'm on time. This is one of the greatest statements that came out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus and in the entire Bible. And there's a reason for that. Let me say it first and I'll tell you the reason. I am. I didn't hear you. Where have you heard that before? Exodus. Remember? The burning bush. Moses sees this bush that is burning, but it's not being consumed. He can see the fire, he can see the light, but the tree, the bush is not, the leaves are not wrinkling as normally a fire would consume. It's burning. Honey, I just got a word. But it's not being consumed. You will burn and you will not be consumed. You want some word? Amen. Who was burnt and wasn't consumed? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They burned, but they were not consumed. The Bible says not even the smell of smoke. That's what happens, watch this, when Kairos intersects with Chronos. See? For those of us who do a little bit of physics, we know this. See, you got time, you know, relatively we call proper time, you know, the normal time, you know. But you see, God is living outside space and time. God created time and space and set the planets, the rolling spheres that we're singing about. He set the planets in motion. They are all operating on Chronos. But the Creator is outside that system, and it is his prerogative to be able to come into Kronos and interfere as he sees fit. He's not bound by Kronos. He made Kronos. But by covenant, he's bound by Kairos. When he gives a promise to his people, he will fulfill it at a Kairos time. So whenever you have the intersection of Kronos and Kairos, you know what you got? Manifestation. I am the same I am of Exodus. Moses did something very good that day. That day could have gone two ways. See, that's why honesty of heart and a heart that is seeking for God is very important. Moses could have looked at that fire and said, "Oh, how, what a wonder," and just walked off. You know what the scripture says? The scripture said, Moses said, "Look at this bush. It's burning and it's not consumed." The next word determined his destiny. "I will turn aside." Are you turning aside in your heart? Honesty. "I will turn aside and see. I will go and examine. I want to find out what is behind this strange phenomena and see this great sight." Scripture. And the Bible says, "And when the Lord saw," it was not before, it was after. "And when the Lord saw that he had turned," he said, "and the voice of the Lord came to him." You know why many people are not hearing the word voice of God? They're not turning aside. The heart is going in this direction. God uses some supernatural event, some observation, something that obviously must have taken a supernatural and divine hand to do into your circumstances, and God expects you to turn aside to find out why. That is why in the book of Romans, in chapter 1, in verse 20, Paul says this, and it's true for all mankind. He said, "For the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, so that men are without excuse." The heavens should make you turn aside. The DNA in your body should make you turn aside. God's faithfulness to his covenant people, natural Israel, should make you turn aside. But alas, alas, many men don't turn. How do you look at, come on, look at this cosmos. An honest man will say, "God, I don't know you, I don't understand, but you must be out there somewhere." The Bible says, "And when the Lord saw," then the voice of the Lord will come. Then light will come to the mind. He said, "But they refused it, so their foolish heart became darkened." But Moses did the right thing. And the voice said, "I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of thy fathers." And Moses bowed in reverence. See, all these years, Moses knew, watch this, about God, but never knew God. I'm going to repeat it. All those years, the years in Egypt, the years with Jethro in the land of Midian, 80 years, Pastor G, 80! He knew about God, but he did not know God. You know, a lot of people like that. They know about God, but they don't know God. Another character I remember is Job. Job knew about God. He knew God to some degree, you know. But he said, I have heard. He said, but now I see you with my eyes. It's a different ball game. You can know God and not know God. You can know God like a child knows his parents. When a child is 2-3 years old, they know the child. When they say, Daddy, Mommy, they know them, but they don't know them. But as they grow physically in maturity, then they get to know that's what we're talking about. And that's why God will use supernatural kairos events to capture the attention of your heart, so your heart will turn, so that you will know God better by revelation. So he says to Moses, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of thy fathers. Come now and go to Egypt. I have heard the cry and the affliction of my people by reason of their taskmasters. And therefore I'm going to send you to Egypt. Go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And Moses asks a very intelligent question. Don't forget that Moses was a very smart guy. He grew up in the court of Pharaoh. The Bible says he was mighty in words and deeds. He was a builder of pyramids and great treasure cities for the pharaohs. He was a very, very smart guy in the natural. But he didn't know God properly. Moses grew up in Egypt, for heaven's sake. He grew up in the palace. He knew the military might of Egypt. Son of Pharaoh's daughter. He knew me, a shepherd in Midian. God, you must be joking. I said, go. So, okay, let me even assume I will go. Who will I say? He said, when they ask you, say, I am that I am. He has not changed from Exodus to John. The same I am. So he announces to Martha. They've known him. They sleep in their house. They cook food for him. He takes his knowledge, the introduction of himself to Martha and Lazarus and that family. He takes it a notch up. I am the I am of Exodus. But in this context now, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I want to stop there for a minute before I go to the next statement. I said I was going to explain this. At this time, Jesus had not been resurrected. He was going to be resurrected in maybe another week or two. Maybe about a week or 10 days. But at that time he was speaking, he was not the resurrection and life. It hadn't happened. Resurrection had not happened. How could he say with that level of audacity, with that level of confidence, that I am the, he didn't say I am a resurrection, he said I am the resurrection and the life. And he had not yet been resurrected. You know why? He was operating with the God who calls the things which are not as though they are. He was operating with the faith of his father Abraham, that God said to him, I have made you a father of many nations, when at 99 he still didn't have any physical seed through Sarah. Man, are you, God, are you joking? God, what are you telling me? I'm 99 years old. This lady is 90. Her womb is dead. She's past menopause. And you say, I am a father of many nations. That's why I really like administration. Even when he's late, he's still on time. Don't let your situation dictate your faith. God is bigger than your situation. Your body may be as good as dead. I'm talking metaphorically. Your situation may be as good as dead. As if there is no hope. They were telling us, we went to some of our friends recently, we're discussing about the Nigerian problem and the economy and how all the oil that is coming out now has already been sold before we mine it. They have promised the lender, the people that borrowed us money, that once the oil comes out, it is their own. That is an impossible situation. Where are you going to get the money to pay back? When the same thing, you use to generate money has already been sold before it has been generated. But the God, the God says, I am the resurrection and the life. Before he was resurrected, says, I am the God of Nigeria. And it is the nation beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, from which the rivers divide, from which will Zion will arise. I believe him. My situation is not going to determine my faith. It is my faith that will change my situation. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, Jesus now takes this thing into the present day situation that they are facing. Lazarus was dead. So he now converts it to present truth. Truth that is to be applied to the present situation. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Then he asks the million-dollar question. Believest thou this? Honest truth, they didn't believe. Martha didn't believe. Mary didn't believe. Even Peter and James and John, none of them believed it. They've seen him do some things, but you know, those were borderline cases. Maybe that Jairus, maybe she was in a coma. And the other guy too, you know, been dead for a year. They haven't buried him yet. He was carrying him, the son of... Hey, maybe it's just, you know, maybe some fluke of medicine and some phenomena we don't understand. You know how the human mind reasons. How the devil puts silly thoughts of doubt in our mind. You know, maybe, maybe. But this one. Lord, don't... This is Olubi Johnson paraphrase. Lord, don't go there. Don't go there. Next verse. Verse 27. She saith unto him. And you and I are saying the same thing today. By the time I finish this message, you'll appreciate what I'm talking about. Yes, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which cometh into the world. I don't believe you are resurrection and life. But I believe you're Son of God. Well, that resurrection, she didn't say, I don't believe you are the resurrection and life. She changed the question and moved the thing around to the place where she was comfortable. Next verse. And when she had so said, she went her way. At this time, you know, they were still, you know, they hadn't yet gone to the graveside. And called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. I find it very interesting that she didn't tell him what Jesus said. She didn't say, you know, the master is around. He says he's the resurrection and the life. And he says that even if somebody's dead, she didn't go there. Just like most of us, our faith is very limited to many times what we can see and what we experienced. Next verse. As soon as she heard that, she arose, that's Mary, arose quickly and came unto him. Verse 30. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town. The town was Bethany. He was close. He was on the way. And was in that place where Martha had met him. Verse 31. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth to the grave to go and weep. The Jews are very much like the Yorubas. When somebody dies, you know, we make a big deal out of it. And there's a good culture in that, you know, where you sit down, you comfort people, you know, people will just sit, you know. So when they saw her get, let's just go with her, so that she can go and do something silly to herself. You know, they could understand the grief and all of that. Next verse. Then when Mary was come, I didn't hear you folks, where Jesus was, she saw him and saw him. She fell down at his feet. We saw it in that movie now. And said unto him, Lord, everything Jesus said didn't register. What Jesus said to Martha, and Martha went to Mary, they heard it, but it was ephemeral. They didn't. Lord, if I can believe you can heal the sick. You are the Christ, the Son of God. I believe that. He said, but this one, if you only had been here, my brother I know you healed the sick. If you had got here in time, you would have prayed for him and he would have risen up. People were there when you healed Peter's mother of fever. And so many people who have been healed under your ministry. Lord, you disappointed us. All that is unsaid in the mind. That's why I like that song. 4 days. If you had been here, if you had just got here in time, my brother would not have died. Next verse. When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with her, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit. I would say groaning is necessary for resurrection life. These are places, the few places where groaning is directly mentioned in the scripture, and particularly in the ministry of Christ. He groaned. He didn't groan in the flesh. He groaned in the spirit. He was praying. And was troubled. He wasn't troubled about Nazareth. He was troubled about Martha and Mary. He was troubled about the Jews. And their condition of terrible spiritual poverty. The Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Their knowledge of spiritual things was so small. And that whole situation had overwhelmed them. Next verse. And said, I like this. He takes the next step. Where have you laid him? And they said, come and see. Next verse. This is one of the greatest verses in the Bible. It's the shortest Bible verse in the Bible. It is so beautiful. Just two words. Jesus wept. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's okay to cry. Even Jesus cried. It's okay to cry. If Jesus can cry, anybody can cry. Next verse. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. You know, when you see somebody when somebody is dead and he's always, because of the emotional attachment to the person, people cry. It's okay. But their conclusion was wrong. He wasn't crying because of Lazarus. He was crying because of them. I had no problem with Nazareth. You know what he said? I don't know if you know. How well you've read your Bible. Long before he came, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Or the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He certainly wasn't crying because of Lazarus, because he already knew what he was going to do. He was crying because of the spiritual condition of the people. Honey, get this. That is why pastors should be crying over the spiritual condition of their people and pray for them and travail in birth till Christ be formed in them. Pastors should not be laughing. when their people are under the heel of Satan. They should be weeping. Blessed is he that mourneth. The spiritual condition of the church today should be making us weep. People, Christians, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, no revelation. 40-year-old Christian, still a baby. Still need to be fed with milk and not with meat. Don't want responsibility. A ragtag church. That's the situation. I'm telling you, personally, as a pastor and as a Christian, you know, I thank God for scripture passing. I thank God for many of you who are making progress. I have and I do weep over the condition of the church. And I can imagine how God feels. If I can, let me say it accurately. I'm touched with the feeling of how God feels. I've explained it before here in church, and I'll tell you now. Imagine having a child. Your wife gives birth to a baby. Everybody rejoices at the birth. Oh, they do naming ceremony and everything. Then, after 2 years, he's not talking. I say, well, okay, maybe it's just a slow starter. You know? 5 years. Doesn't talk properly. Children in other classes are already doing arithmetic. They can count 1, 2, 3. He cannot. 10 years. 15. 20. And he still has the mind development of somebody who's just 1 year old. There's a word for it in Yoruba. Omo banuje. I'll translate. It means a child that causes grief, sorrow, weep, pain. What literally it means spoil, but you know, that's just the literal, but that's a syntax. But the semantics, you know, when you look at that child, your mind, you know, is full of sorrow and discomfort, and the word is actually sorrow. I just said in a language that God will not make us children that will give grief to the heart of God. The word is grief. You look at the child and you just grieve. You know, some people think that they won't say it out loud. And I know they will not do it because they love their children. But we'll be thinking, maybe it's better if they haven't been born. Look at their condition. That's what Jesus saw that day. That's what he saw. Another place in the New Testament, in the Gospels, he said that, you know, the Bible says, they came to him and he preached to them. And then he healed them and cast out devil. He said, and he felt compassion. He said, for they were as sheep that had no shepherd. The vast majority of the people in Jesus' ministry were just like this. That's why he took the 12, then he took the 70 and tried to make something out of those ones to follow him, take up their cross, you know, and bring the church out of them. But the great majority, sadly, we have the same situation today. But there is a solution, and it will be in what I'm preaching to you. Verse 37. And some of them said, you know how human beings are. Could not this man, they didn't say it near him. John picked up the chatter and then he recorded it. And some of them said, just like some people are still saying today, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, watch this, have caused that even this man should not have died. They could not go beyond that. The only thing they could have believe is that if he can heal, if he can open the eyes of the blind, he could have avoided, he could have healed the man before he died. Nobody was ready to take the step of faith across death. Glory to God. Everybody was limited on this side. Nobody was able to take a step across to the other side.
Verse 38.
Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself. In one place, he said, in the spirit. Here, he says, in himself. That's what I always say it every Tuesday. It's not tongues. It's not shouting. It's what the Bible says it is. It is groaning. What was he doing? He was pumping out life from the innermost being. And he was pumping it into the air to go ahead of him as he's going towards the grave. Cometh to the grave. I didn't hear you. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. In the east, they don't bury like us. You see, here in Africa, we bury down. But in that culture, that time, and it's, they still do in many places, you know, they hew out something from a rock. Then they put, so they don't bury down, they bury horizontally, so to speak. They push the casket into a stone, then they roll a stone on top of it. They don't bury and, you know, go into the ground and then, you know, cover it. And a stone lay upon it. I didn't hear you. Oh, Jesus, help me. How many people are getting something out of this? Verse 39. Jesus said, take away the stone.
Well, I did.
Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Next statement is one of the ones I really love. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Up till this point, they didn't believe. They didn't believe. They believed he was Son of God. They believed he could heal. But they did not believe, watch this, that he was and is the resurrection and the life. This has never been done before. Next verse. Then, I didn't hear you. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. I like this other verse too. And Jesus lifted up his eyes. I just got another tweet, another text from heaven. You know what? He was looking at the things which are not seen. He was not looking at the things that are seen. He was not seeing the dead body. He saw it. Don't misunderstand me. But you see, he was looking to the God who was in Kairos, who is about to interfere in Kronos. The Bible says, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They are subject to change. But the things which are not seen are eternal. He looked to the eternal one. And it was because he was looking at God, watch this, he was seeing him that is invisible. And he knew that invisible power, he's going to draw it into the visible realm so that they will see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. So the man had prayed about it before he came. He didn't say, Father, I thank you. You are going to hear me now. As if you have heard me. It had settled it before Jesus got to Bethany. If you read the account, you find out he was in a particular place. The Bible says, and when they sent to him, he said he stayed there extra 2 days. What do you think he was doing? Praying. He had prayed it through. Next verse. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people and their terrible spiritual condition, that's what it is in parentheses, which stand by said it, that they may believe. I didn't hear you. That thou hast sent me. Next verse. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice. He didn't whisper. He wasn't nervous. He wasn't shaky. He wasn't trying something. He was doing something that he knew worked. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Verse 44. What a portion of scripture. I like John. You know, John, he writes it without emotion. He just writes, he's like a stenographer who is just stating the facts. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with great cloth. He actually hopped because he couldn't walk because they had bound him like a mummy. They had bound him with grave clothes. So he had to roll, you know, they buried him like this. So he had to move his body and move his legs, you know, from the plat, you know, like a bed. It's not a bed, like a stone, you know, there was a stone where they laid them, you know. So he, you know, after he had been raised from the dead and he became conscious, he now moved his legs or bound like that, you know, and then, you know, put his leg on the ground. Then he stood up from where he was. But you see, Jesus didn't say stand. He said come forth. So he hopped. That's how he came out. I like what they portrayed in that film. But you know, the movies are good. They give us an idea. But we are going to see the real thing. Before we finish this thing, you know, look at the incredulity on the faces of the people. They showed it in that, you know, clip when they were singing the song. Look, Mary, Martha, James, John, Peter. Yoruba call it Iyanu. The mouth will open. They'd never seen anything like it. Hop, hop, hop. Jesus is cool. He's used to the supernatural. You know what he says? Loose him and let him go. So the people who were incredulous before, who would have been afraid to go to a dead body, they all rushed there, took the grave clothes off, you know, loosed him so that he could go and say, let's go and have lunch. That's what I said during the message. You know, because the Bible tells us later on that there was eating in Lazarus' house. What audacity. Now, I'm going to blow your mind. I'm talking today, you know, we're going to close soon. Resurrection in Abraham and Sarah. Do you know that the reason why this thing was written was not so that you can open your mouth and close it. The reason why it was written so that you can do it in your own generation. The hour is coming and now is where raising people from the dead like this, sometimes 4 days, sometimes a week, well, I wouldn't say common, but it would be something that people would have heard and seen. Especially in the day of social media and satellite television. It happens in Japan or it happens here in Nigeria, in Ibadan. Within a minute, 5 minutes, it's gone viral. People will see like, ha! I just got a text. You would think that everybody would get born again the next minute. But alas, alas, it will not be so. Lots will. Many people will come to believe. Many people will rush to church to come and learn and get born again. That's going to happen. We're going to bring it. But you know what, honey? It's going to be a remnant. Can you believe that, Pastor G? Even with this, someone say, how do you know? Read the Bible. Jesus did this. People went to go and tell the Pharisees. They didn't deny that it happened. But the hardness of heart, the stubbornness, the rebellious heart, they said, you know nothing at all. If we leave this man, all the nation is going to get born again, and the Romans will come and take away our place, selfishness, self-centeredness, and our something. Therefore, this guy stands up, what's his name? Caiaphas, you know, and says, you know, it is expedient that one man die, that the nation perish not. And John writes, he said, he being high priest, prophesied. You see, the high priest is the one who always delivers the Passover lamb. So the high priest had to say it. Talk about God causing all things to work. The man that did not believe said it. To fulfill, that it might be fulfilled. He said it's not of himself, but the Holy Ghost spoke through him. Yeah, because what happened? Did they believe? They didn't. Majority of the Levites and they didn't believe. The Sanhedrin. You had a few like Joseph or Arimathea, the Nicodemus who believed, but majority didn't, in spite of this. I'm preparing us because of the glory that's coming. Don't think that overnight. Oh, they will see it, all right. Can they see the heavens? Even as you are sitting down now, can't you look at the stone and the stars, you know? So it just happened. Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. But do men believe? DNA, computer program, inside the cell, made of chemical bonds, CTGNA, with mathematical precision that is used by the police, CIA, used in courts of law to determine identities of human beings. But do they believe? See, this thing all revolves around this concept of honesty of heart. Only an honest man we say, ha! A God must have done this. Take Olubi's blood. Take Sarah's blood. Put it, you know, extract our DNA. CTGGA. CTGGA. Then take Josh Olubi's own or Itunu's own or any of our children. Look at their DNA. I should make you fear God. But he doesn't. Because of the hardness of men's hearts. Let's move on quickly. Observe that Martha, like most of us today, believed that the Lord Jesus was the Christ and her brother would rise again on the last day. But she did not believe that the Lord Jesus could raise her brother that day. Fast forward to today. You and I, let's make it now personal and applicational. Yes, Jesus was raised from the dead 2,000 years ago. Most of us believe that today because we've been born again. We're born again by the resurrection, the power of the resurrection. The Bible says, being born again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our nature has changed. The person who used to sin, you don't sin again. Your habits have changed. So you know, inside you, you know it's true. Most of us believe that, like Martha. We believe that. But how many of us, and this is a challenge of this Easter, believe that the resurrection power of Christ can
and will be made manifest in our mortal body today, not at the resurrection. Many of us, like Martha, we believe that when Jesus comes back, we sang it this morning, this mortal will put on immortality, and this corruption will put on incorruption. But do we believe that today, now, the life of God will be made manifest in your mortal flesh now? That is where God wants us to go to. Just like I said this, it's a word of wisdom. I said it years ago, and it's still true today. Just like God had to energize, he had to release resurrection life into the physical body of Abraham and Sarah so that they could copulate and give birth to Isaac, the promised son. So now, this resurrection life and power, this is before Jesus comes, this is before the resurrection, I'm talking about now, will be made manifest in our mortal flesh so that we can manifest the Son of God like this to our generation. I ask you, like Jesus asked Martha, believest thou this? That's the challenge of this Easter and the years that are ahead of us. We must grow in faith. That is why Paul prayed that great prayer. It's my favorite prayer now, the Ephesians 3 prayer. For years I prayed Ephesians 1 and Colossians and all of that. I used to pray, but I didn't really key into it until recently. When I say recently, last 3 or 4 years, that Christ would dwell, that you be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ would dwell in your heart by faith, that you become rooted and grounded in love. I put in parentheses by revelation, and it's correct. In your will. That you be able to comprehend in your mind with all saints the breadth, length, depth, and height of the body of Christ. And so you will know more in your emotions. Watch this. The love of Christ, which is greater than knowledge. I spoke about this on Wednesday. Like Christ showed the Samaritan woman, in spite of his knowledge of her sins and her sinful condition. This love of Christ is an undeserved love. You don't love people because they are good. You don't love people because they did good things. You don't love people because they deserve it. You love them because God said to. You love them in spite of their sins. God commended his love to us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is agape love. This is the true divine love. You see, it is easy to love what is lovable, but it is difficult to love what is unlovable. I said this on Wednesday, and I'm going to take a step in that direction, but I'm not going to spend time there. How could Joseph love the brothers who literally killed him? They didn't understand. That's why Joseph, let's give Joseph a super clap of praise. Joseph, when we get to heaven, I'm going to see the position God is going to give Joseph. That was why James and John were very, very myopic and childish when they asked to sit on the right hand or to the left. There are a lot of great saints who. James and John did that. They've done very well too, you know. But brother, there's some other guys. Where are you going to put Enoch? Where are you going to put Joseph? Where are you going to put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Where are you going to put Daniel? If the two of you want to sit on the right and the left. Yeah, you know what I really believe? This is not doctrine, you know. If it's not, so when you get to heaven, say, Pastor Luke, you said that. I said, don't worry, it's okay. You know, I believe it's rotational. There are more than 24 of us who are, you know, great saints in different eras, in different generations, down through the years. Great men of God, the Calebs, the Jehoiadas, the Joshuas, the Davids, hallelujah, the Elijah and the Elishas, the Mordecais and the Esthers, the Johns and the Pauls and the Peters. Ah, there's a whole lot of guys. So when your head starts getting big, remember you are still a very small boy. There are people who have, you know, talk. God, Jesus said, you don't know what you don't understand. He said, even if you go through, he said, it is not mine to give. It will be given by those who are appointed by my Father. You see, God has the whole picture. From Genesis to Revelation. From generation to generation. You may have done very well in your generation. But when you look at the big picture of things, there is a place where you will just fit. And when you get there, you just keep your mouth quiet. You won't talk too much. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So he said to him, the love of Christ, which is greater than knowledge. Joseph loved his brothers when they did not deserve to be loved. They were not planning to kill him. They killed him. They were going to kill him with a knife. It was Reuben who said, he's our brother. Let's see. So he was trying to look for a way. But you know, they would have finished Reuben too. That's how heavy the envy was and the hatred. They would have killed Reuben too. So they put him in a pit. Pastor Andrew, how about his bado? You know what they were doing? They were eating. No conscience. Then God sends this band of Egyptians. Kairos. Thank you, Larry. It's just at the right time. Then this thought. It's God who? They don't know it's God. Let's kill him. Let's sell him. In those days, a slave is as good as dead. Sell him as a slave. And in the beginning, we still make some money. Everybody say, money, money, money. I didn't hear you, folks. Turn to your neighbors. The love of money is and always has been the root of all evil. Their own brother, flesh and blood. And once they sold him, they went back home, no conscience. They took Joseph's cloth, put it inside the blood of a lamb. In those days, they didn't have DNA, because they would have discovered. You know, they took it to his daddy. His daddy began to cry. How poor is your only conscience? Their father was weeping. And they knew what they had done. And the years went by. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. 20 years. Then they show up in Egypt. Joseph recognized them immediately. He was debating in his mind what he's going to do. Boys, you know. Pastor G, what are we going to do with these boys? They didn't deserve any pity. Did they? Well, if I find out, okay, daddy is still alive. All right. Go and bring Benjamin. They bring Benjamin. Then finally, they all come. He introduces himself to them, you know, and cries, and they go and bring their daddy. They go and bring their daddy and everything. So they all, you know, Pharaoh honors them and everything. Then daddy dies. Hey! Their conscience. Hey! What? Watch this. What would I do if I were Joseph? Yes, he won't touch us when daddy is alive. But now daddy is dead. And he were in this Egypt. And he is the Ogapatakpata. He is the head of all Egypt. If he said they should kill him, they kill them, they would do it like that. But Joseph had grown spiritually. May you grow up speaking the truth in love. Joseph had become more like God.
He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save a lot of people. He said, don't worry. I'm not going to revenge. I'm not going to kill you. That's what you deserve. He didn't say that, but I'm putting it in parentheses. That's what you deserve, but I'm not going to do that. Bring your children. I will look after you. I will take care of you. And he did. Another clap offering for Joseph. I am waiting to see Joseph's position in heaven. This is New Testament operation in, watch this, in the Old Testament where there was no Bible. Another clap offering for Joseph. You are reading it now. Joseph had no Bible. But he was operating New Testament love. In the Old Testament, before he was born again, and before any Bible was written. Another clap offering for Joseph. That's where we're going. Where you behave like God. So Ephesians 3:20 says that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. I submit to you, resurrection life and power is available today. Not when Jesus comes. Yes, it's going to happen when Jesus comes. That's when the body is going to be glorified. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about letting the life of God be made manifest in your mortal flesh now for a purpose, so it can manifest the Son of God. Life of God was put in the body of Abraham and Sarah so that they could give birth to Isaac. Life of God is being put in your own flesh now, in your physical body, so that you can give birth to the Son of God. So Christ in you, the hope of glory. Men will see the same Jesus they read about. In these four Gospels, they will see it in you. They will see it in Sarah. They will see it in Pastor Gwega. They will see it in Prof. They will see it in Laolu. Other people want me to mention their name. They will see it in all of you in Jesus. I don't have the time to start naming everybody. But I just wanted to particularize it. It's the truth. The resurrection in Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah are a type of what is going to be produced and manifested in the end time. That's why it is written. It's not written just for us to marvel and open our mouth. It's written so that we can reproduce it in our lives. Where we are going to give birth to laughter. Isaac, the life of God will be manifest in our mortal flesh. Hallelujah. The sick will be healed. The lepers will be cleansed. The dead will be raised. The devil will be cast out. And you will turn sorrow to laughter. And people will call you Laughter Isaac. You will give birth to Isaac today. Paul writes about this in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 10. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection. He's not talking about the resurrection of the glory. He's talking about what I'm preaching. He's talking about the life of God being made manifest in our mortal flesh. Give it to me in the Amplified, this particular verse. Verse 11. That's what he's talking about. That's what Easter is all about. And that is what Easter 2024 is all about. That if possible, I didn't hear you. Everybody open your mouth. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. A clap offering for Paul. We're going to close. Look at Isaiah 51 This is prophetic. Isaiah 51. And look at verses 1 and 2. You know, these scriptures, these prophetic scriptures, we just read it. It's your destiny. It is written of you in the volume of the book. Hearken unto me. I said, hearken unto me. Turn to your neighbor and say, listen to pastor. Hearken unto me. Ye that follow after righteousness. Talking about born again people, you know, where we like to do the right thing. Ye that seek the Lord. How many people are seeking the Lord here? And he's telling you what to do. Look. Look unto the rock from whence you were you. Where did you come from? And unto the pit whence you were digged. Where did God bring you from? A wild branch. A Gentile. Without hope. Without God in the world. A stranger from the commonwealth of Israel. I offer and bid me thank you for that song. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Wild. Then God comes to look at you in your bush. Your forefathers were idol worshippers. They worshipped Ogun, Ifa, Shokmono, and all kinds of demonic deities. Who are you? Where did you come from? Then God in his mercy, he sends the white man. And he sends the David Livingstones and the Mary Slessors. They come and they bring this book, the Bible. And inside there, your destiny and your purpose is written. Then God takes you from that wild heritage and grafts you to be a partaker of the fatness of the olive branch, of the root of the tree. And says, if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I'm going to say this in Yoruba English, because I don't know the Yoruba very well. Olorun a je ka appreciate o. The truth. Look to the rock. That's why anybody who is anti-Israel, he does not understand what he's doing. Our whole salvation is Jewish. For salvation is of the Jews. From the lips of Jesus himself. That's where you are digged from. Next verse. Oh, I've got to close. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Stand to your feet. God will bless you. God will increase you in this Easter season. Look to Abraham. Look to Sarah. Abraham got life of God in his body at the age of 99. And he gave birth to Isaac. Sarah received life into her physical body at the age of 90. Strength to conceive. And she brought forth Isaac. Sarah, Boega, Kaode, and others, you will receive life into your physical body and you will bring forth Jesus in this end time. That's what Christianity is all about. What I've given you now is a microcosm of the gospel. This is why Jesus came. Not just so you can go to heaven. You go to heaven. Heaven is a gift. Believest thou this? What do you believe? Huh? I just got a tweet from heaven.
What do you want to believe? There's a big difference.
You know, people shrink away from truth.
I ask it again. Two questions. What do you believe? And what do you want to believe?
I believe this. I'm 65 now. By the grace and the mercy of God, I'll be 65 in May. These years that are ahead of me, the next 10, 20 years are going to be the best years of my life. You know why? I'm getting resurrection life into my body.
There's nothing old about me.
Amen.
Me and my wife, we're always making fun of each other. When I went on this trip to South Africa, you know, because there was nobody there. Yemisi was not there. David was all there. So I was me who was doing all the thing. So I said, Arugbo meji don't touch around. So I now said to her, I said, Mohun Sharugbo. I said, I'm elderly, but I'm not an old man.
Amen.
My youth is being renewed like the eagles. In 5 years' time, I'll be stronger than I am now. I have every intention to outdo Caleb. At 85, I will just be refiring. The life of God made manifest in my mortal flesh. I will go to China. I will go to Saudi Arabia. I will go to the communist lands. I will go to the Muslims' lands. We will raise the dead. We will cast out devils. Forget this escapist, defeatist mentality. God is looking for children, sons and daughters of God, who will look to Abraham our father and look to Sarah from whence we were hewn and say, like you gave life to Abraham at 100 years old, you will give life to my mortal body now, and I will manifest the Son of God. Talk to God. If I continue, you won't go home. You will not go home today. If I continue, you will not go home today. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. This is what it's all about. This religious mentality that the devil is going to beat us and beat us, and the Antichrist will show us pepper. I'm talking Nigerian, you know, contemporary language, you know. They're the devil, you know, and then Jesus will just come from the sky one day and just come and take us and rescue us. It's totally false. Totally false. Satan is not going to beat us and then God will come and rescue us. We are going to put him under our feet and then crush him. And it's only when we are satisfied that Jesus will come for us. He's not coming to rescue us from the devil who is too strong for us. He's coming to release the devil from us who are too strong for him. I'm going to repeat it. He's not coming to rescue us from the devil who is too strong for us. He's coming to release, to take us, to release us so that we can, he's coming to take us so that he can release the devil, because we have been too strong for him. Because we are here, we are restraining him. If he does not come and take us, the Antichrist cannot manifest. So he's coming to take us away because we are too strong for the devil, so that he can release the Antichrist. Is there, you know, our mentality has to change completely. What a word! Because if we don't go, the Antichrist will not arise. Because while we are here, we will dominate him. We will crush his head. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. This weak, defeatist mentality has permeated the church like a cancer. But I bring you a word of hope. I bring you a word of life. I bring you a word of resurrection. Like God literally resurrected the physical bodies of Abraham and Sarah in their old age to produce Isaac, God will give life to your physical body now in your old age to produce the Son of God. If that doesn't fire up, I don't know what will. I'm looking to the best years of my life. See, in my younger years, God blessed me, and I didn't have wisdom. I didn't have much wisdom. But now I'm ready. I can manage money now. I can manage fame. Amen. I can manage human recognition. None of those things can affect me like they would have affected me before. That is why many times God reserves the best for the last. Jesus could not have handled raising Lazarus from the dead when he was 12. He could not have handled it. Observe, Lazarus was raised from the dead after 4 days, a few days before he died. He didn't even do it in the early part of the ministry. It's deliberate, because he himself was growing, for he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Don't worry, go and eat rice. Go and eat rice. Just start soon. But what I'm preaching for you is better than rice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Ah! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't plan on dying, you know. Don't plan on that. Plan on living. Plan on getting life into your mortal flesh. Plan on your youth being renewed like the eagles. Lord have mercy. I wasn't even looking at the watch. I didn't realize the time had gone so much. It's past 2. Can you believe? Who cares? Hallelujah.